Bhagavad Gita, but a corollary literature or another portion of the Vedas known as the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained that, well, the verse is very nice. It's a very literal verse. Literal in the sense there's a lot of alliteration. But it's Sanasrita ye padapalava plavam mahat padam punya yusho morade bhavam buddhir vatsa param padam padam. Bambu dear vatsa param padam 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 yadvi padam na techam. Anyway, the purport of the verse is that at every step of life there's danger. Padam padam means every step. And the proof that is that yesterday we drove all the way to Momo or Oxy and Lund, and it was wet and snowy, and of course we had to get there very quickly. And then this morning we drove all the way back here, and again it was cold and wet, snowy and icy, but we had no problem. And then we drove from Korsnäsgård to Stockholm, again no problem. And we were within a few meters of Govinda's. We were walking down some hill from on the other side of the road there, and all of a sudden there was an icy patch, and I went shh, my feet went up and went flat down on my back. And actually this one lady, she became very concerned, young lady, and she rushed up and tried to help me up. Maybe it was Krishna's arrangement so that she could render some service. Of course she was smoking a cigarette, but that's all right. She was trying to offer some service. I felt really embarrassed because, you know, I'm from Canada, and we taught the whole world how to play ice hockey. And I also used to play ice hockey, but whoo, crap. So there is danger in every step of life, and the first law of the Manu Smriti, or the teachings of Manu, who was the primal progenitor, the first human. The word man comes from Manu. So in his teachings he says that one should try to protect his life at all costs, because this human body is like a tree, and from the tree you get fruits and flowers. And in this case, the human body, the fruit, is love of God. And if you don't have the tree, even though the tree is based on untruth, but without the tree you can't get the fruits. So one should protect the tree. So it's not Maya, or it's not material to protect the body, take care of the body, or even pray for the body. for the purpose of using it to acquire love of God. So when we chant the prayers to Lord Nisinga, you know, somebody might think, well, we're devotees, we depend on Krishna, we don't have to pray for our lives. But actually, Krishna, Nisinga is also Krishna, and there's some very interesting stories about Nisringadeva and his identity. But we can pray to him for our protection. One prayer is that we pray Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejas Tejase Aviravir Bhava Vajra Naka Vajra Dangstra Karmashayan Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Svaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyishtam Om Shram. We're praying to Nisringadeva to, with his sharp claws and his sharp teeth, to tear out our bad qualities, our lust and our anger and our greed and envy and all that good stuff. You know, we're asking him, praying that he'll tear out our anarthas. So this prayer to the Lord Nisringadeva also. At one time I thought, oh, you know, I don't need to pray to Krishna for my protection. I'll just leave it up to him. But kind of changed my mind now. I think that, and Prabhupada introduced this prayer at a time when we were under a lot of attack from various groups, because we were preaching very vigorously and very widely, and so there were people who didn't like that. So Prabhupada gave us this prayer for our protection.
Can you choose the most I want to?
One person beyond. So, first we'll have a little Sanskrit lesson, okay? High tech. And I think we'll start with Srila Prabhupada's Pranam mantra. Because I travel of late, people ask me, where do you stay? And for lack of a better location, I usually say, in the airport. But I see a lot of temples and hear a lot of kirtans. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Nama. If you're saying Srimati, that means Mrs. Bhaktivedanta. Anybody has the habit of saying Srimati? Yeah, it's Srimate. I know, we've all been taught in different places and different things, but it's Srimate. Namaste Saraswate. Anybody says Saraswati? A lot of people. It's Saraswate, the correct declension. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha. It's Saraswate Deve. This is the vocative case, meaning O servant of Saraswati. So it's the vocative case. Vocative means where you cry out, O owe this, owe that. You decline, Swedish? There's no declension system. Nominative, ablative, dative, accusative. Huh? Like if anybody's ever taken Latin.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
German.
German also. Declension is there. Anyway. So I just thought we should straighten those things out. At least we can say we know the right pranam mantra. We may not be great Sanskrit scholars. Not only we may not be, but there's every likelihood that we will not be. Which is okay, because Prabhupada said that there's nowhere in Sanskrit that it says that if you don't know Sanskrit, you can't be Krishna conscious. So we're lucky for that. And, oh, here's another one, one of my favorite ones. Namaste Narasimhaya. And then usually you hear of different versions of Prahlada la la da dayane, Prahlada la 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 day. It's Prahlad Allah. Prahlad Allah. Da dayane. Look it up in the songbook. Very clear. Prahlad Allah da dayane. Does anyone chant anything else besides that? Or we chant it properly? Huh? Prahlad. INA. Yeah, but that's wrong. It's Prahlad Allah. Whatever it is, you can say Prahlad Ada INA if you want. But, huh? Prahlad Allah. Prahlad Allah. Da Dayane. That's how it should be. Now, if you don't know that part, but you get the letters right, but you just pronounce them a different way, that's okay. But Prahlada la da la, that's wrong. And I've heard people chant that in very different variations in that. And there's something else connected with that. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Ito. Usually I heard various variations of this one. A lot of people do like O a lot, so that's Ito Nisrimo, Parato Nisrimo. No, it's Ito Nisrimha, Parato Nisrimo. That's correct. Does everybody chant that way? Ito Nisrimha, Parato Nisrimo. Yato, yato, yami, tato, nisim, ah. Everybody got that? Everyone does that? No. So, okay, Sanskrit lesson. Nisringa, mad, nisimha, madim. Sharanam, prapadye. It's not prapadai. Nisringadev didn't die. It's prapadye. Was anyone ever taught die? Yeah. It's prapadye. You can even hear in India and in South India, or even in North India, when they do yajnas, it's not prapadye, but different things. It's adye. So it's prapadye, not prapadai. Okay. Enough Sanskrit for one evening. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
29? Oh, okay. Okay, we're reading chapter 1, entitled Observing the Armies. So this is this is sometimes called setting the scene. In other words, this first chapter gives you a description of what is going to take, it gives you a little background information. The Bhagavad Gita instruction actually begins in chapter 2. But anyway, we're reading verse 29. It's not up on the board or anything. It's okay.
Kepples.
Huh?
Kepples.
Oh, okay. Maybe we won't. We already had our Sanskrit tonight. Vepatuscha sharire me roma harshascha jayate gandivam sangshute hastat fakchaiva paridayate. Translation. My whole body is trembling. My hair is standing on end. My bow, Gandiva, is slipping from my hand. And my skin is burning. How many have read the Bhagavad Gita? How many here of you have read the Bhagavad Gita? Or let me say, how many have not read the Bhagavad Gita? How many aren't going to answer no matter what I say? Okay, I'll start over. How many have read the Bhagavad Gita? Okay. So you know this setting the scene then. And purport. There are two kinds of trembling of the body and two kinds of standings of the hair on end. One is when you put a lot of oil on your sikha in the cold and it just stands on end. That's one. Get that in cold countries. Such phenomena occur either in great spiritual ecstasy or out of great fear under material conditions. There is no fear in transcendental realization. Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. This is evident from other symptoms also. He became so impatient that his famous bow, Gandiva, was slipping from his hands. And because his heart was burning within him, he was feeling a burning sensation of the skin. All these are due to material conception of life. So, Arjuna's greatest mistake was what?
Anybody know?
In the beginning, what was his biggest mistake? Yes.
Identified with material circumstances.
Just he again?
Identified.
Oh, identified with material circumstances. Yes, that's what it indicates here in the purport. But there's an even deeper theme to his illusion. Yes. Yeah, my poor relay. I'm a little deaf.
He wanted to become the controller of material nature. I think he was part of the people.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That is a consequence of his real problem. His real problem was that he was concerned for his own happiness rather than the happiness of Krishna. He was thinking that I am unhappy. I want to be happy. He was not thinking, how can I make Krishna happy? But he was thinking, how can I be happy? And that was, that was his misconception, and that's what led to all of his other mistakes of wanting to be the controller, of identifying with material circumstances, etc. Material attachment, yes, bhautik, asakti. So, now, Arjuna is not an ordinary person. In fact, the incarnation of Krishna, known as Narayan, who is still existing in the Himalayas, performing austerity. Nara means man, and Narayan means Vishnu, Krishna. So this combination of the supreme jiva soul, the supreme individual soul, and the supreme source, supreme origin, is called Narayan. And that Nara is Arjuna. Arjuna has incarnated as Nara, and Krishna, Narayan, is incarnated, or is portraying here, or is acting as, not acting, Krishna is Narayan. So Krishna has come, but in a previous incarnation, Krishna incarnates as Narayan, and Arjuna is Nara. So Arjuna's main purpose, or the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. Now this is the Bhagavad Gita at the beginning of Dwapar Yuga 5,000 years ago. This is the pastime, the Leela. Krishna says that Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manurikshvakave Bravit. I previously spoke this Bhagavad Gita to Vivasvan. Now, he spoke the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. He didn't talk about the battle of Kurukshetra, because that hadn't taken place yet. But the same essential knowledge was spoken about to Vivasvan, and Arjuna was also there. So in a different Leela, somehow, we don't know what that is, but in a different way, the Bhagavad Gita knowledge was imparted to Vivasvan. Here, Arjuna is representing us. He's representing a man in darkness, a man bewildered, a man confused, which is every one of us. And he is about to turn to Krishna. Now, in this case, Krishna is acting as the relative and the friend of Arjuna. So you could say, well, I'll just turn to my friend and surrender to my friend. No. You've got to have a friend like Krishna who can lift Govardhan Hill with his little finger, who can, move the cloud at the end of the day when there was a fight between Arjuna and, who was it, Drona? No. Who was he fighting with? Anyone knows the Mahabharata? There's a story where there's a battle. It was Yeah, it was Arjuna, and he was out to kill somebody who had killed his son.
Jayadratha.
Yeah, he was out to kill Jayadratha. And the whole Kaurava army knew that Arjuna had taken a vow that he would kill Jayadratha that day or he would give up the battle. So they knew all they had to do was protect Jayadratha that day. And the battle was won. Arjuna would concede. He would go away from the battlefield. Because his own son had been practically, you know, murdered by Jayadratha. And other warriors also. But Jayadratha had done some cheating. So, Arjuna had made his way through all the great Kaurava warriors. He'd gotten past everyone, and he was just about to get to Jayadratha. But the sun was going down, and as soon as the sun goes down, the day's over. He can't fight anymore. So Krishna, it wasn't over. The sun wasn't completely down yet. And Arjuna got past everybody and killed Jayadratha. And then Krishna removed the cloud. There was the sun. So, unless your friend can do that kind of thing, what we need to do is we need to find Krishna and surrender to him. Arjuna's confusion was very deep. It affected his whole physiology. He was really... Arjuna was a very moral person. He had tremendous integrity. He was a great leader. And he just did not want to fight against his own relatives. And his own. He was not interested in acquiring material prosperity. A king's duty is to fight, and if there is any booty or any opulence or the spoils of that fight, then he can use them to fill up his treasury and to govern both his own kingdom and the kingdom that he's conquered. He doesn't keep it for himself anyway, but he uses it to govern over the people and give them a good life. And of course he has his own palace and his facility also. But Arjuna didn't want any of that. It was just not. He had already lived in the forest for 13, 14 years. And he had lived practically like a hermit, wandering from place to place, sleeping on the ground. So he was just not impressed by material opulence. He was not attached to it. But he didn't want to fight, which, you know, I'm told that there is a museum here of the Swedish army that you can go to. And it's not an army museum in the classical sense, because right in the middle of it there's a whole display on the horrors of war. And you know, I'm told it's quite an effective presentation how terrible war can be, especially in the modern age, where, you know, people are innocent, and children, women, old people are tortured by hellish bombs and guns. they're murdered, actually, in many cases. If any of you ever saw the killing fields of Vietnam, and everybody's got their Vietnam, unfortunately. I'm told that somebody, the sixth, was it some famous Swedish king? Huh?
Carl the 12th.
Yeah. He's, at one point he was, people thought he was a hero, but in actual fact he was a vicious tyrant. And you see this all over the world. You know, we think, oh, Idi Amin, he's so terrible. But, you know, Stalin was much worse than Idi Amin, and much worse than Hitler. He made Hitler look like a small timer. So war is there, and the evils of war are there. And Arjuna, although he was a great warrior, he was prepared to fight anyone for a righteous cause, and that also only soldiers. He would never think of killing a woman or even a defenseless person, even a soldier who had thrown down his arms and surrendered. Would never kill. So he, when he feels bewilderment, it's really deep, and therefore he's feeling quivering in his body, his whole mind. He's getting dizzy. He can't think straight. And he's actually, I'm not saying that we have to walk down the street like zombies before we can surrender to Krishna, but it is certainly a time when you're suffering the most. Queen Kunti, who also suffered in her own right, she was also put to great distress. Her sons were tortured, and you know, she actually at one point even was going to go to the forest and she went through a lot of distress. For a woman, it was very, very distressful what her sons went through. She had no husband. Husband had died, and but Krishna always came and consoled her. The Supreme Lord, who was acting as a family member, he actually came and consoled her, pacified her, and gave her encouragement, and helped her through all the difficult times. But now the battle of Kurukshetra was over, and the Pandavas, her sons, had been installed on the throne. They were the victors. They got all the glory. And Krishna said, well, it's over now. I'm going back to Dwarka. I'm leaving. And she realized that she got, on the one side, all her desires fulfilled, but on the other side, Krishna was leaving. So she said, Vipada Shantu Takshasva Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Let those evils come again and again. They were horrible. Let those difficult times come again and again, even though they were distressful. But at least I had the opportunity to see you directly, to associate with you. She was feeling like that. So it's not so bad. In one sense, if your mind is in the right place, if you're fixed in your spiritual dedication, your spiritual goal, if it's deep within inside you, you may face trials and tribulations. Everybody in the material world does that. Everybody struggles. It's not that just because you've become a devotee and you're trying to control your senses. And, you know, I meet devotees, how are you doing? Oh, I'm struggling. You know. Someone asked Prabhupada, what makes you happy? He said, I'm happy when I see you struggling. Not that he was being cruel, but what he meant was when you're struggling to be, to succeed over the mind and the senses, in the battle with your mind and senses, when you're struggling, when you're not struggling, that means you've surrendered. You're overcome. And you'll still struggle. It's not that you, oh, I'm leaving, I'm walking out the door. Okay, where's my Mercedes? Where's my mansion? You know, where's my prestige? You have to, people struggle like anything in the material world. In fact, 50% of the world's population lives in substandard housing. Every 3 seconds a child dies from malnutrition, disease brought on by malnutrition. 59% of the world's wealth, 59% of the world's wealth is in the hands of 6% of the people of the world. So, it's not like there isn't a struggle out there. There is a big struggle. So if you struggle under Krishna's lotus feet to become a pure devotee, that's a good thing. You're struggling in the right direction. So Arjuna was struggling like that, and he felt fear. His hair was standing on end. His mighty bow, his greatest possession, which had never deserted him. He won that bow in a great competition. And he was the greatest of all archers. And not just little toy arrow. I was at the store the other day, and some man had brought his young son in to buy a gun. It was maybe one of his first guns. You know, looked just like a 9mm gun, but it was a pellet gun. You know, you put these little pellets in it. We had pellet guns when I was young, but this one was really sophisticated. But still, a pellet is a pellet. It doesn't do that much damage. Good for killing birds and things. That's when I actually, that was my first spiritual realization. I killed a bird with a gun. And then I went over and saw the bird, and there he was lying there dead. It shocked me. What did I do? Where did the bird go? I felt so bad. But Arjuna's arrows were, they were arrows that were imbued with sound, mantra, and they could kill a whole army, one arrow, or it could kill one person, according to how he chanted the mantras. These are not ordinary bows and arrows. They were high-tech bows and arrows. So this bow, Gandiva, was a special bow. But Arjuna was so distraught by the thought of having to kill his relatives to gain material wealth that he dropped his bow. He was about to drop his bow and lost everything. So we have to, if you want to become fixed, if you want to be steady in your spiritual practices, you may have noticed how it's hard. As I travel, as I meet devotees, you know, when you've been around for a long time, people just, they kind of polarize. They think maybe you've got some answers because you're a survivor. You know? Maybe you've got some tricks up your sleeve or something. They always come and tell you their problems and ask you how to be steady and how to control the mind and control the senses. And because we all struggle. It's hard. I know it's hard in the beginning. Yet tad agre visham eva. It's like poison, visha. Agre, in the beginning. Pariname mritopamo. But if you persevere, it is like nectar in the end, amrit. Pariname mrit means amrit. Pariname mritopamo. In the end, it is like nectar. So if you want to be steady in your chanting, be steady in your sadhana, be steady in your reading and your overall improvement, your quality of devotional service, your quality of life, really. Because if you can achieve even a degree, even a small degree of perfection in spiritual life, you will also get a great degree of happiness in your material life. Because your material life, Krishna says that he is, protects his devotees and carries what they lack, protects what they have. There's a building in Bombay. It's called the Yoga Kshema. The building is called Yoga Kshema, and interestingly enough, the Life Insurance Corporation of India, the biggest insurance company, is in that building. As if, you know, if you buy life insurance, then. But Krishna is actually Yoga Kshema. So he says, Ananyas Chintayanto Mamye Jana Paripasate Teshang Nitya Vyuktanam. Someone who is Teshang, worshipping me, Nitya Vyuktanam, continuously engaged. Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. Then Yoga Kshema Bahami Aham. I will protect what he has and carry what he lacks. I will provide. I'll take care of my devotees. They're on my team. I take care of them. I know, I've seen, there's politics everywhere. Can't help it. This is the material world, is a place of politics. Even in spiritual organizations, invariably, there's going to be politics. So I've seen different kinds of leaders. And I've seen that leaders, if someone joins with them, I've come to surrender, I'm on your side, they'll be very sweet, they'll take care, they'll make sure they have facility, everything. But as soon as they leave their side, yeah, the demon, you know, get that guy,
you know, different leaders will compete with others. We're going to distribute Mark books in them, and the way we'll do it is we'll steal their stock of books. But you know, if you're on their side, so if you're on Krishna's side, if you surrender to Krishna, he will take care of you. And any seasoned devotee has that experience. Nasochati na kankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu manbhakti mlavate. A devotee is on the platform, Brahma Bhuta platform, and he doesn't have any intense hankering or any intense lamentation. He has no desires to be fulfilled because whatever he needs, Krishna provides it practically simultaneously or even before he thinks he should have it. In the material world, people are constantly meditating. It's not true that meditation is new to the Western world. It's not new. Meditation is as old as man in the material world. People are constantly meditating on sense gratification. They're meditating on the objects of the senses. They're meditating on the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. The whole material world, there's so many stimuli. Sarva prakriti jayagunai. Based on impulses born of the modes of material nature, we're being forced to act. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtati akarmakrit karyate hiyavasak karma sarva prakriti jayagunai. You can't refrain from acting. You'll be forced to act. The modes of nature are like currents in a river, and they'll carry you along, and where will you go in the current? It depends on your association with the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And there's so many stimuli, so many impulses. They're called vegas, vacho vega, the urge of the tongue to eat and to talk. Nonsense. Prajalpa. Eat nonsense things. Manasa krodha vegam, the urges of the mind, the urges of anger. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, the urge of the tongue. Udura pasta vegam, the urge to eat pasta. You have to control all these vegas. All these urges. And so how to do that? You have to contemplate, you have to meditate on why you're a devotee. You have to really see that there is advantage. You have to understand Arjuna and how, although he's a great person, because he's thinking of satisfying himself rather than Krishna, he's in distress. You have to see how so many people are acting in the material world and getting facility relatively, whether it be in America or in Rwanda, there's relative rich and poor. but they're not happy. One of my godbrothers, his father came to him and he, good Jewish boy, only son of his father. Naturally, his father was a multimillionaire. So his father told him, I will give you $1 million if you leave the Hare Krishna movement. How many of you would have taken it? Tough question, right? He said, Father, you have so much money and you're not happy, but you want me to believe that if I take your money, I'll become happy. He was a very smart son of his father. His father was, as well as a director on American Steel Corporation, which was very big at that time. He was also a district judge, a lawyer. So his son was also equally competent. So how are these things actually going to satisfy you? You've seen that other people aren't satisfied by having them for yourself. But if you use things in the service of Krishna, then you will become satisfied, and that struggle is worth it. And you have to, you really, before you, of course, you should start chanting right away, but you should definitely analyze what you're doing very carefully. Don't be blind. There's no need to be a cultist or whatever. We want you to think. That's why we give you books. So many books. We want you to read the books and study and think. And we're confident that if you have alpa medasa, even a little brain, you'll come to the right conclusion. But at least if you make up your own mind, then you'll never be able to look back and say, someone forced me. Sometimes this happens. Nobody's forcing. We all have free will. So please think about these things and try to render devotional service and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada left three instructions. Chant Hare Krishna, three instructions. He wanted us to do these three things. Chant Hare Krishna, have no worries, and be happy. It's an instruction. Be happy. So are there any questions? Okay, thank you very much.